Alleluia, Christ is risen. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. The text for our sermon this morning is, well, taking into consideration the first reading from Acts 3 and everybody who witnessed this miracle. And of course, Peter and John and the apostles, they said, hey, it's this miracle, it's not by our power, it's not by this man's piety or our piety that we're good enough, but it is the power in God's word. It is the Holy Spirit that does this amazing thing. And then again, we see the Holy Spirit at work in the gospel reading. In this verse where we are told, and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Today, we give thanks to God that the Holy Spirit opens our minds to understand the scriptures, to confess them, to confess Jesus as risen from the dead. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see that as Jesus opens their minds too, he takes them to the word, just like Peter and John did in saying, hey, this miracle, this man being able to walk, it's the word of God that does that. We're reminded that only the word of God can open our minds that we would believe. And what was the result? What did the disciples have after their minds were opened? They had peace. Jesus said, peace be with you. The word of Christ is very powerful. Over a week ago, many of us, we saw the power of nature in the full eclipse that took place. I have to admit, as I started hearing murmurs about it and people talking about it, it was more interesting than I thought it was going to be. At first, I heard about it and thought, eclipses come and go, no big deal. I remember the most recent eclipse, I think it was around 2022 or 2023, and, you know, we were outside, we were looking at it, and it was kind of cool, the leaves made the things, but I thought, okay, yeah, that's neat. And as people started talking about it again, I thought, meh, okay, whatever. And I heard schools were letting students out. I thought, it's kind of overblowing it. I had to go to school in the snow, walking uphill both ways, you know. People are traveling from all over the country, I started hearing, and hotel rooms at Holiday Inns were going for like $700 a night. I thought, man, this seems a little silly. But when the moon was in front of the sun, blocking its light, you couldn't help but be in awe of this event. As the heat of the day was broken and it kept getting cooler and cooler, I thought, okay, this kind of makes sense. This is pretty cool. We live next door to an elementary school and all the kids were outside playing and, you know, where I'm used to hearing all that noise. But then the kids started screaming and running around and being crazy. As powerful as the eclipse was, as much as it sort of altered our behavior and caused us maybe to pause and think, it's nothing compared to the power of God's word. I mean, we even remember that God created the world. God put nature in rhythm by his word. It was nothing compared to the power of God's word to shine the light of Jesus in your dark heart. The word of God even tells us that as Jesus was crucified on that fateful day, the sun was darkened, and it wasn't because of an eclipse. It was even more dark than what we experienced. The author of life, we are told in our first reading, was crucified. The word of God set nature in rhythm. The word of God we see and know is powerful, and today in our gospel reading, Jesus opens their minds to understand this word. And he uses the word to do that. And think about the disciples. Much like we hear of eclipses and things happening in nature, the disciples had heard this teaching of Jesus many times. They'd heard the passages from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. As faithful Jews, this was old hat for them. They knew the scriptures. They'd studied them. They'd heard them. Jesus himself preached and quoted to them. And yet, at this moment in our gospel reading, we find the disciples, Jesus says, are disbelieving. They doubt. Disbelieving, though, even though nature is set its course and has a rhythm and a pattern, disbelieving is not something we can time like an eclipse. Nature is set to a time by God. It's predictable, mathematical. Scientists can measure the movement of the planets and even the stars. Our fears and disbelief, though, those catch us when we least expect it. We as fallen humans, we are fickle. One day we're strong, we're ready to confess the Christian faith, we're ready to love our neighbors as Christ loved us, we're ready to forgive as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. But then the next day, we're like the disciples, Jesus standing there risen, and we're afraid. We worry, we doubt, we think Jesus is just a figment of our imagination, just a ghost, that he hasn't really conquered sin and death. In contrast to the reliability of nature, we humans are in complete rebellion against a nature set to a pattern. Jesus even points this out. He says, look at the birds of the air, consider nature. They neither reap nor sow, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they, O you of little faith? We close, we darken, we eclipse our minds and hearts by sin and doubt. That is the source of strife in your life. We cannot open our hearts and minds to understand the Word of God. We are told, St. Paul tells the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul knows this firsthand. As you remember, on the road to Damascus, Paul, it wasn't an eclipse, it wasn't darkness, but the Lord shone bright and came to Paul on the road, blinded him. Paul didn't ask for this to happen. Paul didn't ask for the Lord to come to him. And yet, our Lord opens Paul's mind. He opens his mind by blinding him. Scales cover his eyes. But also remember, St. Paul underwent several years of catechesis that St. Paul was taught and he learned. And he was baptized, and what happened? The scales fell from his eyes. The Word of God gives us sight no matter the age. That Jesus is telling Paul and us, and even the disciples in our gospel reading, to look to the Word of God when life seems dark. Look to the Word and sacrament where the light of God's gospel shines in your heart. Jesus also said in John 6, no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. It would be easier for us to try and stop an eclipse than to come to faith in Christ by our work or effort. Without the Word of God, it's like trying to stop the sun from rising. Paul tells the Ephesians that before the Holy Spirit comes to us, we are blind and dead in our trespasses and sins. Peter agrees. 2 Peter 1, he says, no prophecy was ever made by the will of man. And to bring it home, this is why we in the small catechism confess to the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church. In the meaning to the third article, we say, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts. The disciples, they couldn't believe until Christ opened their minds by his word. And this makes it clear that faith, it's not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of willpower. It's not a matter of our piety. Christ isn't waiting for you to be good enough before he opens your mind. When Christ picked up children, as we heard in our liturgy for baptism, he said, "To such belongs the kingdom of God." How humbling that is. We can't open our minds to understand the scriptures. But there is a rhythm. There is a pattern. There is a reliability. We can, for sure, close our hearts to the scriptures by worry, disbelief. We are told today in our second reading, we are told that sin, practicing sin, John says in 1 John 3, is lawlessness. That's a certain rhythm to bringing disbelief and worry. Like 2 plus 2 equals 4, worry and doubt brings disbelief. That's the source of strife and brokenheartedness in our lives. Like clockwork, sin is death. Hiding sin in our hearts, not confessing. The disciples, like us, they're disbelieving what Jesus had taught. And I guess we can't blame them because we find ourselves in that same place too often. The disciples are disbelieving what Jesus had taught. Doubts rise when life seems dark and we don't know what to do. Too often we revert to sinful behavior. We get grumpy. We lose our patience. Our prayer life is eclipsed by worry. We get jealous of other people's success, and like darkness, sin begins its creep, like that moon as it slowly progressed across the sun. Jesus appeared to them in flesh and blood, and they were afraid. Their fear was a stumbling block. And also take note, they hadn't even said anything yet, and Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knows what you need as well. And here today, we see a glorious display, more powerful than the eclipse last week. We see Christ coming and taking residence up in Elizabeth's heart in the waters of baptism. Here, the light of God's glory shines upon a darkened heart. And some would say, not so special. But with the glasses, with the eyes of faith, Paul says, God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. What a better proclamation of God's love than the waters of baptism, where he shines his light brighter than the sun, and it is for those who have ears to hear and those who have eyes to see. And unless Christ returns, and then his glory comes so bright that the sun casts a shadow, eclipses will come and go. But you, dear Christian, when it seems as if darkness eclipses his light, repent. Flee to the word as Jesus brought the word and instructed to the disciples. Repent of your doubts and believe. Remember that you've been baptized. He has shined his light in your hearts and continues to do so. Only don't shut the door. Only don't go inside your own heart by doubts and worry and disbelief. There is a rhythm. There is a pattern to the Christian life. And that pattern follows our worship service, that of daily confessing our sins, hearing the gospel, prayer being taught, and going forth. That's the purpose of our liturgy and how it's structured. It's to give you a pattern for your life. As the sun rises and sets, so is the faithfulness of God. And should you not more and more gaze upon his glory by faith each day, remembering when he baptized you, for God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus. Should you not look and hear his word all the more, perhaps daily? Would you not remember the darkness of that day when the eclipse was at totality, that when you're tempted to sin, let that be a warning to you that your heart doesn't grow cold, that your love doesn't become dark? And as you are tempted for the dangers of sin, remember the darkness from that eclipse was short. And his light is stronger than any darkness. In this Easter season, we remember that death's dark veil has been torn. By his death and resurrection, he has rendered death and the darkness of death powerless against you. You will not know the deepest darkness in all creation with eternal death apart from Christ. Because his light, the light of the world, which the darkness cannot overcome, is yours. He's died for your sins and been raised for you to be sure of his love. So whatever is stressing you in life, whatever it is that causes you to be distracted like clockwork, know that there is something more sure. The forgiveness and the perseverance of Christ's faithfulness on your behalf. Do not let the cares of this life weigh down your heart. For hallelujah, Christ is risen. And so looking back, I learned a thing or two about that eclipse. The awe of it drew me in to go and look at it a little bit more. The darkness at midday was enough for me to consider the universe. This is also why God allows darkness in your life. Not so that you would disbelieve, but that you would be guided back to the scriptures again and again to learn and to rejoice that you belong to the light. Jesus himself directs you to the scriptures so that your mind would be opened. In John 17, Jesus say, I pray for those who will believe in me through the apostles' message. Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to be in the word, to receive it, to hear it, to have the word of God come to you from outside yourself. When you receive the word of God, St. Paul tells them, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Further, he encouraged the Thessalonians, but you, brothers, are not in darkness. For that last day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.